church. Let us open the Bible in Luke chapter 9, verse 51. The title of this sermon, it's All In. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. All In. Verse 51 says this: when he arrived at the house of Jairus, oh, just a minute, I mean 8. Now, 9:51. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem, and he sent messengers on ahead. They went into the Samaritan village to get things ready for him, but the people there did not welcome him, because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they went to another village. I believe we can stop here before we check the other side. God loves us, that's why he gave us his word. God loves us, that's why he gave us his son. God loves us, that's why he gave us his spirit. And let the Holy Spirit be the teacher today. Church, just as our introduction, this verse 51, it's really, really important in Luke. Because it's a turning point. Jesus sets his face to Jerusalem. What does that mean? First, it means this: Jesus is not a victim to destiny. He chooses the cross. The cross is not an accident. Jerusalem is a dangerous place. People want to get him killed. Nevertheless, he knows his purpose, therefore he walks there. Second thing that this statement, Jesus set his face to Jerusalem, means, this is a theological statement, not a geographical one. If you get caught up with the geography, you're going to find a lot of tough scenarios. Because Jesus, as he's going to Jerusalem, he makes a lot of purposeful detours, such as stopping Samaria. This is one detour. So why is this a theological statement? It means that Jesus has conviction. The devil persuaded Jesus to ditch the cross. Peter persuaded Jesus to forget the cross. His family wants to take him out. Jesus has many people trying to take him out of the way of Jerusalem, out of the way of the cross. But Jesus has conviction. The cross is my purpose. The cross is where I'm going. My treasure is not on earth. My treasure is in heaven. And why is that important, church? Because Jesus sets his face to Jerusalem. We are in Luke chapter 9. All the way to the end, this is a pilgrimage. What Luke is trying to tell you and tell to me is that Jesus is on a journey. Earth is not his last place. The throne, heaven, is his final destination. And so, if Jesus is a pilgrim, his disciples must be also pilgrims. If Jesus' mind is not here on what earth can give us, what money can give us, what fame can give us, if Jesus doesn't set his mind to those things, our minds also should follow his mind. And that's literally the next slide I have for you. The journey is much easier when you have the right people traveling with you. Who said that? Can you see there? Who said that? Luis de la Fuente. Who is this man? I love him. The coach of Spain. who gave me so much joy a week ago. I needed to honor him in this sermon. Luis de la Fuente, the journey is much easier. They asked, you and I, we only see the guys playing. We only see the match. But people asked him, why is your team so good? And he said, we are going on a journey. The guy's going to spend 50 days looking at each other. No family, no friends, training, game, resting, training, game, resting. Anxiety, pressure, all of those things pressing my guys. I chose the best travelers. Everybody in this group, they have one goal, the trophy. They don't think about themselves. They're not here for a hobby. They're not touristing in America, because if they wanted to tourism, they had to come to Canada. Canada is way better, right? But in the U.S., we are not here for tourism. We are here to win. And because everybody had the same mindset, they won. Jesus has the mindset fixed in the Father. We want to be good travelers. We want to make his life easy. We want to be good pilgrims. And that's everything we're going to see from now on. We can have our next slide. We already read this. We see two wrong travelers, two people with wrong mindset. Who are they? The Samaritans in verse 52 and the John and James in verse 54. The Samaritans, they refuse Jesus a staying, a shelter. And John and James, they want to set fire in the whole village because they did not receive Jesus. Let us see here. What is the heart of the issue with these two guys? Misjudgment. Why did the Samaritans reject Jesus? And the text says, because he was going to Jerusalem. So because of his appearance, because of his destination, they refused the most wonderful and best blessing at all, which is Jesus Christ. Because of appearance. What is our lesson here, church? We should not judge the package. We should open the package, because inside the package there is a blessing for us. I believe we all are guilty of that. We reject, refuse so many blessings of the Lord for our lives. Why? Because we don't like the package. I don't like that guy. I don't like that girl. I don't like these circumstances. I don't like this denomination. I don't like this. And we look at the package and we miss the blessing. When Jesus says very clear in his word, where is the blessing? Usually it is in the narrow path, in the narrow gate. That person, that style, that circumstances that we don't want, that we keep praying, God, take away from me, send away from me. I don't need that. It's in that very place where God wants to bless us. Just say amen if you agree with that. Right? So, misjudgment, appearance. How about John and James? They also made a misjudgment. And what did they misjudge? Obviously, it's not the situation. Let us see this. John and James, they ask the Samaritans to help out. Let Jesus stay there. It's going to be short. All we need is one or two nights and we are going. And the Samaritans reject him. Church, in light of the Eastern culture, Hospitality, it's not a hobby. Hospitality is not a I'm nice. Hospitality is responsibility. If you fail hospitality, you are a very crooked man in the eyes of the Eastern culture. I have been houses of people who are from the East, and yes, they treat us like kings. Food, 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 and you finish eating, more food for you, let me take your shoes. Almost they give me a massage. But that I say, no, that's too much. I don't need massage. But if you have been to a Middle East, Eastern kind of house, you know hospitality is prime. They really take that serious. How about hospitality? When the one asking hospitality is the king of the world, everywhere belongs to him. He can sleep wherever he wants. He doesn't request, he demands. Jesus is the king, Jesus is God, Jesus is the Messiah. And this man, the Samaritan, says, no, not in here. Jesus, you're not going to shelter here because you look like a Jew, you're going to Jerusalem, we don't have dealings with the Jewish people. So the assessment of James and John, it's right. What the Samaritans did was ugly, terrible. But what did they misjudge then? If the situation is correct, they misjudge their own authority, their own power. Why? Because they have power. They have authority. Not to judge, not to tell fire to come down from the village, not to destroy church. And here is our lesson. Our authority is to build. Our authority is to heal. Our authority is to save. We do a poor service when all we do is to look at the world and see how bad the world is and shame how bad they are and thank God we are different. When we have that mindset, I'm better than them, they are crook, they deserve hell, they deserve to be judged, and we don't walk 1 mile to tell them the good news, to tell them about Jesus, to give them the hand to save them. When we behave like that, we are very, very wrong. Say amen if you understood that, right? So these is two bad travelers, not helping Jesus at all. Jesus has his mind clear in heaven, in blessing, in saving. And these two, they're not. So let us advance to the next slide. Let us turn the page. Let us read verse 57 all the way to the end. We're going to see the last three kinds of disciples. Verse 57 says this. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Let us see these last three disciples. What they have in common, church, it is that what it's up there. They set their face to something else. We, disciples of Christ, we are called to set our face in Christ. They set their face in circumstances, in the family, but first, all these kind of things take their attention, take their eyes off Jesus and put their eyes in something else. I want you, before we see each one of them, I want to work with a definition here. Verse 59, what's the definition of discipleship, church? Here's the definition. Follow Jesus and preach the gospel. Every disciple of Jesus, they follow him and they teach. Both of these things must happen. That's what verse 59 and verse 60 tells you. Why is this important? Because it is the opposite of religion. Religion, legalism, self-righteousness, all of those things are self-centered. I do something. I reconnect. I obey. I give. I'm the good guy. I attend to church. All of those things are self-centered. Discipleship starts with Jesus. He must be the one calling us. Follow me. The first guy, he did not understand that. The last guy did not understand that. They say, I will follow you. They never received the call. Only the guy in the middle has received the call, follow me. Only him. The other two, they did not. So now that we know the definition, what discipleship is and the difference between disciple and religion, let us dissect these three guys. First, it is the hasty disciple. He is in verse 57. I will follow you wherever you go. Pay attention. He did not receive a call. He is saying, I will do it. He has a volunteer kind of mindset. What is his problem? His problem it is that he is resting his statement in himself. He looks like Peter. Peter, on the night when Jesus was betrayed, he made a beautiful promise to Jesus. Jesus, even if every disciple ditches you, I won't. I will never leave you. If you die, I die. If you go, I go. If you stay, you stay. And Jesus says, great, Peter, let me add to your statement. Tonight, not tomorrow, tonight, you're gonna deny me. Not once, not twice, three times. Every time we have I statements, I do this, I do that, I'm going to follow you, I'm going to do this and that, we fail. Every time. So that's his first mistake. And the lesson we learn here, it is that this guy, this first man, he only wants to join Jesus and his ministry in the highlights, in the good moments. Jesus preaches and his sermons are the best. I want to join him. Jesus performs miracles. I love that because if I have someone ill or if I have a disease, Jesus is going to heal me. Jesus multiplied bread. That's great because if I'm hungry, guess what? I don't need money. Jesus multiplies things. He only wants to join the ministry in the highlights. And Jesus says to him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have a place to sleep. Why? We just read he wanted to go to Samaria, and Samaria refused lodge to him. He's pretty much saying this, if you want to join my ministry, I am a transparent. It's not just highlights. there is tough seasons. There is storms in the boat. There is serving people. There is lack of comfort. There is lack of stability. There is threatening of life. There is those who debate me. There is those who oppose me. You want to follow me, you need to follow the whole picture. And that's why we are very, as preachers, we are very upset, very disappointed with the gospel of prosperity. Because it preaches, it teaches you that if you follow Christ, your life is going to be Walt Disney, Wonderland. You're going to be always champion of the world, and doesn't let you know that, no, there is hardship, right? So this guy, he came with unrealistic expectation, and that's why he's a hasty disciple. Let us see the fourth one. Everything the hasty disciple has, the hesitant guy lacks. That first one, he wants to follow Jesus without thinking about it. The second one, he wants to think a little bit too much. Jesus, I will obey you, but first. And you know, English lesson. Every time you put a but in the sentence, what does it do to the former thing? It cancels everything. Gustavo, you're cute. But you're not my type. Okay? Everybody understood this illustration? Okay, good. So, when they say but, they cancel everything. And here's how we solve this dilemma. Because his but, it's a beautiful but. I want to care for my father. And this is obviously not a funeral celebration of life kind of thing. He is actually taking care of his father. If his father passes away in 1 year, he's going to follow Jesus after 1 year. If his father passes away in 20 years, he is going to follow Jesus once he's 20. The Bible commands us to take care of our elderly ones. Please say amen. Fifth commandment, thou shalt honor your parents, okay? So obviously, Jesus has nothing against that, obviously. How can we solve this problem? And I believe I have the secret here for us. It's all about preposition. It's all about English. Pay attention. Jesus, I will follow you. I want to follow you. But because of my father, I cannot now, because of, okay? How about this one? Jesus, I will follow you despite of my father. Do you see the difference? Disciples of Jesus, they understand that they need to put a despite in their lives. I'm going to serve you despite I'm broke. Despite I'm rich, despite I'm young, despite I'm old, despite I'm busy, despite I have time. Non-disciples of Christians, they use the excuse kind of thing. Jesus, I cannot serve you because I'm broke, because I'm rich, because I'm busy, because I have time. The problem is not the situation. The problem is the mindset. So that's the lesson we have here. Hesitant disciples, they always have an excuse. True disciples, they serve Jesus, whatever the circumstances, whatever the place. And then Jesus looked at him in verse 60 and says, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. I think what Jesus is saying here resonates with all of us. All of us. You are not a preacher. You are not a missionary. You are not working the camp, Camp Shalom, Scott Mission, in the shelter. You are not a full-time minister. Just like this man, Jesus said, follow me. Be a full-time minister, he said, I won't. Okay? I'm going to be a normal person. I'm going to take care of my father like everybody else. You and I, we are in that team. Okay? And Jesus tells him what he tells to you. Doesn't matter. Preach the gospel. You're not a preacher. Preach the gospel. You're not a missionary. Preach the gospel. You're not evangelism. Preach the gospel. Wherever you are, whatever profession, you have one call. Preach the gospel. Follow me and teach others how to follow Christ. That's what Jesus is saying to him. He has the dad. He has the disciple, this guy. He has a physical death in mind. Let me bury physically my father. Jesus has another death in mind. Spiritual death. People are going to hell. People are dying. Therefore, don't delay. Don't make excuse. Preach the gospel. Last disciple, it is the divided disciple. Verse 61, this guy, he has the same excuse as the other guy. But first, same words, let me say farewell to my family. The only difference it is farewell and bury. Okay? We would thought these are the same mistake. Hesitant disciple. They are delaying obedience. However, if we look to Jesus' reply, which is in verse 62, we find out what is the issue of this last disciple. He is a divided disciple. Jesus says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back, it's fit for the gospel. This image speaks for itself. The work, the vision, the call, it's ahead. But his mind, his brain, his eyes is in the past. This is a divided person. He does not accomplish his work, and he does not have what he holds the most. The problem is not lack for love for Jesus. He does. He has a call. He wants to fulfill the job. The problem it is that he loves Jesus and something else. And Jesus says elsewhere, you cannot serve two lords. Either you're going to please one or you're going to hate the other. Discipleship means all in. If Jesus is not the first, he will never be the second. All for Jesus or nothing at all. So with that in mind, let us bring this to the conclusion. The conclusion explains everything here. For now, all we did, we saw definition of discipleship, and we see five kinds of wrong discipleship. But here it is the lesson. It is in the conclusion. Jesus doesn't demand perfection, but full commitment, church. Okay? It's okay when we get the song wrong. Okay? It's okay. We are not perfect. Jesus does not demand perfection. Jesus demands full commitment. What we struggle, church, what we get wrong, here, listen to me very carefully here. What we get wrong is that we think that the only guys who are not disciples are the Samaritans. Because they openly, they said, we don't want Jesus here. Jesus, you go elsewhere, not in here. We think that these are the only ones who are not disciples. Okay?
All this rest, hasty disciple, hesitant disciple, divided disciple, we think they are disciples. Just because they have a confession of faith. Jesus, I believe in you. Just because they have church membership. Just because they do not openly say, we don't believe in you. But what this text teaches us, church, is that none of them are disciples. That's the lesson here. Discipleship with Jesus, it is all in. Half discipleship is not discipleship. Volunteering is not discipleship. Only Sunday kind of Christianity is not Christianity. Discipleship means all in all. That's the lesson here. And take good heart. Jesus doesn't demand perfection, but full commitment. And the second lesson we have here to understand this, it is, what's the difference between empty religion and discipleship? And that's the most beautiful word we want to see here, the word grace. Okay? Hasty disciple, hesitant disciple, divided disciple, they are trying to do things on their own. I will follow you. I will follow you later. I will follow you when I can. This is religion. Men trying to connect with God in their own terms. And then the task becomes very, very weary. However, when we understand that discipleship, by definition, means follow me. He calls us. He is gracious. He takes the initiative. And when we understand that the discipleship, he gives you the task to preach the word of God, you start to understand that this is grace. Oh, man, it didn't become good. You start to understand that this is grace. Okay? Grace. And grace, our discipleship follows as a byproduct of grace. He saved me. Therefore, I am encouraged to give my life to him. He put his spirit in me. Therefore, I am encouraged to live a holy life and to preach the gospel. He gave me a call to preach the gospel. And that call, that privilege, not even the angels have it. The angels don't preach the gospel. Only the church preaches the gospel. When we understand that this is grace, the grace of the Lord, we are very much encouraged to give our all to him. I want to make this very clear to you, church. Beautiful. This is beautiful. Jesus speaks in parables. Why? Because every time we listen a sermon like this, we listen a story like this, you don't know the answer. We don't know who are these guys. We don't know the aftermath of their lives. We don't know the answer they give to this calling, to these parables. Why? Because that's the beauty of a parable. It makes you and I, once we hear it, we now need to do something about it. Once we hear, we need to make a decision. Either we're going to be an all-in kind of disciples, or either we're going to be a hasty, hesitant, divided, which is, by definition, non-disciple. Once we hear these words, we need to make the decision. And this is a daily decision. I want to tell you a story that really puts this sermon and these parables straight to your heart. The most famous preacher in Brazil. Church, The guy is a walking Bible. He's amazing. And he was telling his testimony. He, by the age of 18, he wanted to be a politician. 18 years old. When he turned 18 years old, and the same day he went to get a license to vote, and he also became a member of a political party. He's Christian, okay? He's not a crook trying to go to politics to take advantage from it. He wants to serve as a politician. And church, this is not normal. Not normal. Every Brazilian kid, what they want to do when they become old? You guys know it. Play soccer. Nobody wants to be a politician. So if this guy wants to be a politician, you know he means it. It's his life. So he went to talk to his elders. And he said, I'm going to devote myself to politics. I'm going to be a different one. I'm going to bring the kingdom of God there. And once he said these words, look at this. Once I finish it, I'm going to become a preacher. I'm going to preach the gospel. And his elder, look at him, and we are not nice. You know that by now, right? We Brazilians, we have no common sense. He said this, so are you saying that you're going to give the leftovers to God? You're going to give your best to politics and the rest to God? And the 18 years old got scared. And that first time, he understood. He was never a disciple. He was like these guys. I'll volunteer my time. I do these in my own terms. I pick and choose. For the first time, he really understood what it means to be a disciple of Christ. It is all in or nothing at all. So nothing, I don't need to say that he ditched his political calling. He became a pastor, he became a preacher. And that story really pictures this sermon. Jesus is all in or nothing at all. May the Lord bless us.